Civilization, where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
So it's the 12th of April 2016, and today, like many people in the UK, I've just had a leaflet through the door, and I think they've started circulating this week. And it's an official HM, Her Majesty's Government leaflet, quite a controversial leaflet, in fact, because it costs the government in the UK, I think, several million pounds to produce and circulate this leaflet to the population of the United Kingdom. And it's to do with the European Union and the referendum in the UK, which will take place in June of this year, which is an in and out referendum for those who aren't in the UK and who listen to the podcast. So we're voting whether or not we want to stay in the EU, essentially. It's a straight cut case of yes or no, really. And the government will have to oblige, and the UK will either remain a member of this, I guess, increasingly controversial body, or we will pull out and go solo, as they say, or return to sovereignty, it could be argued. So I'm just going to have a flick through this leaflet and just read some of the key points from it. It's not very long, but it's quite interesting. First thing I kind of noticed is it's quite a simple design. Maybe simple is not the word, but it's not overly produced, it's not overly designed. It looks like it was possibly done relatively quickly. It looks like it was not necessarily in a rush, but maybe they kind of wanted it cheap and cheerful. I mean, millions is not cheap, but it could have been more expensive if they'd kind of gone more glossy. But it's there's lots of pictures, and it's obviously a colour leaflet. It's about, let's just see, it's about 10 pages. And the front of it just reads in big, bold text, "Why the government believes that voting to remain in the European Union is the best decision for the UK. The EU referendum, Thursday, 23rd of June, 2016. And if I flick over to the back, it just reads again, "The government believes that voting to remain in the EU is the best decision for the UK. And it has three checkboxes, and it ticks protecting jobs, a stronger economy, providing security." Let's come on to that. I'm not so sure personally about the providing security. All three of those, really. But we're impartial. I mean, myself and Peter Paul, I think we're kind of undecided. So in terms of the Information Podcast, we're kind of impartial about the EU referendum. I can see the arguments for and against. I'm not really fully swaying towards a Brexit, which is what we're calling Britain exiting the EU. That's known as Brexit in the UK for those who aren't in the UK. It's difficult. I'm perhaps leaning towards that, and for reasons perhaps I might raise in this episode. But we're probably going to do quite a few episodes going for the next month or two on EU membership and the UK's place in the EU. We've got something going on locally soon, which we'll probably do an episode for, just to talk about that. So it also says, "The EU referendum is a once-in-a-generation decision. The government believes that it is in you and your family's best interests that the UK remains in the EU. Vote on Thursday, 23rd of June. If you'd like further information, please visit a website, eureferendum.gov.uk. So let's just open it up. And the reason this was quite a controversial leaflet was because the No campaign have argued that the government have kind of abused their position here by spending taxpayers' money, essentially, on you could argue, propaganda, or certainly information that's pushing the yes camp, really kind of trying to get people to sway their decision towards staying in the EU. And they're spending that money in a way that's not necessarily fair, because the No campaign can't do that, because the government's official stance is that we should stay in the EU, although there are many people in government, such as, well, many people in the Conservative Party even, such as Boris Johnson, who are against EU membership. So I can sort of understand why this leaflet was perhaps a little controversial, but the government are adamant that we should stay in the EU. So, an important decision for the UK. On Thursday, 23rd of June, there will be a referendum. It's your opportunity to decide if the UK remains in the EU. It's a big decision, one that will affect you, your family, your children for decades to come. The UK has secured a special status in a reformed EU. We will not join the Euro. We will keep our own border controls. The UK will not be part of the further European political integration. There will be tough new restrictions on access to our welfare system for new EU migrants. We have a commitment to reduce EU red tape. The government believes that the UK should remain in the EU. This leaflet sets out the facts and explains why the government believes a vote to remain in the EU is in the best interests of the people of the UK. It shows some of the choices the UK would face if there were a vote to leave. Some of the choices. Strangely worded section there. If you would like further information, blah blah, please visit our website. Yeah. So, I mean, the first thing I'm kind of getting a sense of is it's trying to immediately, it's setting a tone, this leaflet. The tone is basically throwing the child card instantly, saying you're not just voting for yourself, you're voting for your family and your children and your children's children. Kind of the legacy argument. Just having a tea while I'm reading this leaflet. So I'm immediately kind of getting a sense that it's maybe guilty of a tiny bit of fear mongering there. But if the EU are so for us staying in, sorry, if the UK government are so for us staying in the EU, I guess they've got to try and pitch this in the way that they see fit. Over 3 million UK jobs are linked to exports in the EU. The EU is by far the UK's biggest trading partner. EU countries buy 44% of everything we sell abroad, from cars to insurance. Remaining inside the EU guarantees our full access to the single market. By contrast, leaving creates uncertainty and risk. And here it's got a table with a load of figures in. I'll just read one of these, it's a bit boring. So it's saying, in the aerospace industry, there are 110,000 jobs. I'm guessing that's job UK industry in the EU. So I'm guessing there's 110,000 jobs in the UK in the aerospace industry as a result of us being in the EU. Figures like this, I'm just not convinced by some of these, I have to say. Just because it depends how they define a job and how that job is somehow linked to our EU membership. Surely that job may still be there if the UK was not a member of the EU. I'm not entirely sure how they can be so clear-cut about this. Share of exports going to the EU. Financial services, 41%. Food manufacturing, 53%. I mean, see, what I would say to this is that this is all very well and good, but I mean, no campaigners have been quite clear about this, and I think their argument's pretty sound, and that is that just because the UK leaves the EU doesn't necessarily mean that all of a sudden our exports are going to fold up. We'll just renegotiate with the European Union, and I mean, from what I've read and from what I've heard commentators say, it wouldn't actually take that long to enter such negotiation. It wouldn't be years, it would be months. So these figures, to me, I'm not particularly swayed by them. The EU single market has over 500 million customers and an economy over 5 times bigger than the UK's. The single market makes it easier and cheaper for UK companies to sell their products outside the UK, creating jobs as a result. Being inside the EU also makes it more attractive for companies to invest in the UK, meaning more jobs. Over the last decade, foreign companies have invested £540 billion in the UK, equivalent to 148 million every day. again, I'm not swayed by this argument. And I'm not, like I said earlier, I'm not necessarily pro-Brexit. I'm still undecided. But I mean, I work for an American company in terms of my day job, if you like. And funnily enough, the EU referendum came up when one of the US CEO, well, what the US CEO was over. And we kind of asked him what he thought about the UK possibly leaving the EU and how that would affect the company. And he said it wouldn't at all. They didn't even think about it. It's not something that even worries them. Their indifference to it was the word he used. So I'm not entirely sure that I agree with this line about it making it more attractive for companies to invest in the UK. I mean, the company I work for is a big company and they don't really care about the UK being in the EU or not. They don't see it as an issue either way. They're just interested in being in the UK because they see the UK as a strong market, regardless of EU membership. So that's interesting. And also the single market business, I just feel that we would renegotiate our terms, our trade terms with the EU, and we'd end up with something similar anyway. Because I did study EU law at university, well, a while back now, but almost 10 years ago, scarily. And one of the things that I always remembered from studying EU law was, well, apart from the fact it was very dull, was that the EU used to be called the EEC, and it was an economic trading entity. It was a common trading bloc, really, and it just grew and grew and grew and became this what they call a supranational kind of entity. Where it used to be intergovernmental, to give it the academic terminology. So I do understand the fear many people have, and I don't think it's being a kind of little Englander to say that we are losing our sovereignty as a country as a result of being in the EU. And this leaflet, to be fair, it does make a point at the start of trying to make out that we will not integrate any more with the European Union, and we have a special status as a result of David Cameron's recent negotiations. But many people weren't swayed by that special status announcement, and they weren't swayed by the negotiations and what they ended up bringing us, because they just seemed a bit tame in comparison to, I think, what a lot of people wanted to see. But to be fair, we don't have the euro, we still have pound sterling, and I can't imagine we'd ever go down the route of having a euro in the UK. I think most people would absolutely draw the line there. I think there is this inherent sense of identity we have with having the pound, and I'm not so sure we would give that up like France and Germany did. And I still find it surprising that so many countries did give up their currency. The franc, etc., no longer exists. But it also mentions that... Yeah, it mentions that we will keep our border controls. I mean, the whole migration thing we'll come on to, that's another kind of controversial area. So the next page, improving our lives, and a picture of a supermarket basket. If the UK voted to leave the EU, the resulting economic shock would risk higher prices of some household goods. So that's the kind of statement that can mean anything, really. Some household goods, I mean, which ones and for how long? And would it really be that much of a shock? I'm not so sure, personally. Cost of living. If the UK voted to leave the EU, the resulting economic shock would put pressure on the value of the pound, which would risk higher prices of household goods and damage living standards. Losing our full access to the EU single market would make exporting to Europe harder and increase costs. Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? Travel abroad. Millions of UK citizens travel to Europe each year. The EU has made this easier and cheaper. EU reforms in the 1990s have resulted in a drop in fares of over 40% for lower cost flights. From next year, mobile phone roaming charges will be abolished across the EU, saving UK customers up to 38 pence per minute on calls. Well, okay, so the roaming charges thing, that is really a good piece of legislation, and see, this is the thing about the EU, it's not all bad. I think this is the mistake a lot of the exit campaigners and UKIP probably make, is they kind of paint the EU in an extremely bad light all the time. And the EU does do good things. And I guess this whole roaming charge harmonisation is a good thing, because that is a nightmare in the EU. When you go over just to France, which is not far from southern England, all of a sudden you get crippled if you try and use your mobile phone, because roaming charges just mean it's essentially useless. You can't really use your phone unless you've got a Wi-Fi signal, because you're just terrified of crazy costs for sending a text or making a phone call or data. It doesn't mention here about data roaming charges, though. I think maybe it's all the same thing there. Interesting. So, and it's also saying about fares. I mean, see, the thing about fares is that the first thing I think of is trains. I mean, in the UK, we have a pretty shambolic, although the oldest in the world, in fact, railway. And although it was great in its time, in its day, it's struggling now because of the strain on UK infrastructure, just because of the amount of people that are in the UK and the fact we're a tiny island nation. Everyone knows the reasons. But the problem with the trains, I mean, we have the most expensive train fares in the EU, probably some of the most expensive in the world, if not the most expensive, I don't know for sure. And the service is pretty abysmal, really. And the actual quality of the trains, just everything about them, it all needs modernisation, and it all needs a lot of money spent on it. But it's all privatised, and the EU, I mean, I guess a lot of people would jump at the chance of EU membership if the EU passed some legislation saying that your trains have to be X amount of money, i.e. as cheap as it is in Germany and France. But obviously that would never happen in the UK because it's privatised. So I'm not so sure that any of this is that interesting, really. I mean, travelling abroad, I suppose it's good. It's cheaper to book flights and things. I mean, who knows, that could all change if we went in the EU. But again, I just don't feel swayed by it, though, I must say. So what this final bit here, EU membership also gives UK citizens travelling in other European countries the right to access free and cheaper public healthcare. That's an interesting one, because this is the sort of thing that could change if we went in the EU. A lot of member states of the EU may say, no, we don't want the Brits using our hospitals for free. And they don't have to, because they're not in the EU, they're not EU citizens. And I'm not entirely sure what could be done about that. It doesn't sound like the sort of thing that could be negotiated very easily. Some argue little would change if we left the EU, but there are no guarantees UK customers would keep these benefits if we left. Yeah, I mean, that's vague. I mean, basically, there's no guarantee that we wouldn't, is there? So, who knows? It's a gamble. What happens if we leave? So I'm guessing this is the fear-mongering section. So a vote to leave could mean a decade or more of uncertainty. Voting to leave would create years of uncertainty and potential economic disruption. It would reduce investment and cost jobs. The government judges it could result in 10 years or more of uncertainty as the UK unpicks our relationship with the EU and negotiates new arrangements with the EU and over 50 countries around the world. Well, you see, I'm just not convinced it would take that long from what I've heard. And lots of politicians have said it wouldn't take that long. So I think this is worst case scenario, really, is what it's trying to say. Some argue that we could strike a good deal quickly with the EU because they want to keep access to our market. Well, that's interesting. It says that paragraph there, but then it doesn't follow it through with a counter argument. It just puts it there as if to say, yeah, we kind of acknowledge that it may not be that hard, actually, but let's move on. So that's interesting. But the government's judgment... Oh, okay, no, fair enough, I take that back. The government's judgment is that it would be much harder than that. Less than 8% of EU exports come to the UK, while 43% of UK exports go to the EU. No other country has managed to secure significant access to the single market without having to follow EU rules over which they have no real say, pay into the EU, accept EU citizens living and working in their country. It says no other countries, though. I mean, I think it's really referring there to some of the Scandinavian countries that have kind of been reluctant to kind of be integrated in with the EU. And I mean, I just think the UK has a lot more sway, and the EU would have to oblige, really. They'd have to meet us somewhere in the middle. And there's also the argument that the UK has the Commonwealth. I mean, we have the Commonwealth of Nations still, which is the sort of remnant of the days of the Empire. But I feel like perhaps we could reignite some trade with the Commonwealth. I mean, there was an article I read in The Guardian the other week about how Australian politicians are a little bit unhappy about the way the UK's recently treated Australia. It's sort of snubbing Australia in place of the EU. And it used to be the other way around. The UK used to support Australia quite a lot, and there used to be a lot of trade, and apparently a lot of that's changing, and the UK's kind of treating Australia not in the kind of nice warm way it used to, let's just say. And I think that's a shame. I think personally, I just feel like we have shared culture with the Anglosphere, if you like. So I don't think the EU's the only kid in town, really, that we can deal with. A more limited trade deal with the EU would give the UK less access to the single market. It keeps repeating the same line about this single market and having access to. So it makes up for almost 80% of the UK economy. Hey, not sure about that. For example, Canada's deal with the EU will give limited access for services. It has so far been 7 years in the making and is still not in force. So it's just reiterating the point that a renegotiation could take a long time. So there's a section on immigration. Securing our borders. The UK is not part of the EU's border-free zone. We control our own borders, which give us the right to check everyone, including EU nationals arriving from continental Europe. Immigration. The government has negotiated a deal that will make our benefit system less of a draw. In future, new EU immigrants will not have full access to certain benefits until they have worked here for up to 4 years. The government will have greater powers to take action where there is abuse. Some argue that leaving the EU will give us more freedom to limit immigration, but in return for economic benefits of access to EU single market, non-EU countries such as Norway have had to accept the right of all EU citizens to live and work in their country. Keeping us safer. Well, actually, before I jump onto that, I mean, just a small comment on immigration. This is probably the most hot topic when it comes to EU membership in the UK. I think it's really what UKIP and that are pushing for. It's their biggest argument is immigration's causing a major problem in the UK, and infrastructure's struggling and housing prices going up. But just the whole thing about numbers and out of control borders, really. And it's a difficult one. I think immigration is a good thing, and I do think that it's great to have a multicultural society. It's something to aspire towards, but I don't think it's controversial to say that there has to be a control, and it has to be done in a way that means that standards of living doesn't drop for the people already here. And I think any sensible politician would accept that. And maybe, I mean, Tony Blair, from what I've read, made a few mistakes with regards to opening the borders in the 90s, and things kind of got a little bit out of hand. I think the government kind of lost track of what was going on, really. And yeah, it's controversial, but I mean, I suppose what the government are trying to say here is that they have done a deal with the EU, which means that we potentially could control our borders in a better way. But it's a long way from saying what I think a lot of people want to hear, which is quite honestly just a really extreme from what I gather, really. There's a lot of resentment out there. People aren't happy with unabated immigration. In certain areas of the UK, it's perhaps out of control, I think. But the problem you see is that the UK does draw in people from all over Europe, because the UK is a strong economy, and there are jobs here, and the money that the wages here go further abroad, and it's that whole thing, really. There's no easy solution, and it's the same problem America has with Mexico, and it's the same old thing that goes on all over the world, really. And I suppose the Australian approach is the one that many people in the UK want the UK to adopt, which is basically a point system and a system where it's much stricter, much more locked down. But yeah, I don't know. I think we probably need to meet somewhere in the middle, and at the moment we're not quite there. So where are we? I think this is the last page now. Or is it? Yeah, I'm going to skip through this. It's getting a bit dry now. Benefits of EU membership. So it's just going on about the UK being a member of an elite group kind of thing. It's got a special status in the EU. And opportunities for your children. It means you and your family have the right to live, work or study abroad in any of the other 27 member countries. It also guarantees employment rights. I think that's a fair point, and I think that's one that we should remember. I mean, I've never really felt like it was something I'd ever do. But if, yeah, why not? I mean, many people in the UK decide to move to France. They decide to just sell up and have a nice, humble life in a chateau, or move somewhere where it's basically much cheaper to live, or just get a change of scene. But to do that, see, the problem we really have in the UK is that we don't learn foreign languages. It is easier, in my opinion, for people from continental Europe to come to the UK than it is for people in the UK to go to continental Europe, because we just don't learn foreign languages. It just isn't, there's no emphasis on it in the UK. So unless people have gone out of their way to learn another language, like French, for example, it's tough going. And I just don't, in my opinion, I just feel like it's more the draw is the other way. It's not about us wanting to move out of the UK, it's about so many people wanting to come in. But there is the argument, I think, that the government try and make out, that actually the figures mean that it balances itself out eventually. But I've seen other figures that suggest the opposite, so I really don't know what to believe, quite honestly. So, final page, once in a generation decision. So it is a big decision. I think the government have said, this is it, we're not going to have another referendum. A bit like the Scotland referendum. So yeah, that's it, that's the leaflet. I think, I don't know, I don't think it's terrible. I think, to be fair, it sets quite a strong argument, and I do think that's going to sway a lot of people, and I think that's why the No campaigner have been unhappy about it, because I think a lot of people are just going to read this and think, you know what, yeah, the government knows best. And they're going to see children and fear and all these shock, and they're just, I didn't see any obvious ones, but there may even be some subliminals in that leaflet. But yeah, the impression I get is that a lot of people will just see that and say, yeah, it's a safe option to stay in the EU. But none of those arguments are that strong, though. I do think if we really wanted to, we could renegotiate us a good trade deal with the EU. And I honestly think we're a strong enough country, we could do it. And I think we would probably feel better, actually. I think there may be some uproar initially, but I honestly don't personally think it would be as big of a deal as that leaflet makes out. But what do I know? and I may be swayed. So there you go.
The information where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.